when we diligently spend time together. And too many people, that men and women, that after they get married in a few years, they forget each other. You know, you walk in the house, you know, and you've been married 10 years, 20 years or whatever. You walk in the house. Instead of walking by and say, "Hey, honey, how was your day today?" You just walk right on by. Don't look at her, nothing. Or she walks in, she's too busy thinking about something or the grandbabies or kids or whatever, and she don't even say nothing. You're sitting there thinking, you know, "Gee, I've been out working hard today and I'm tired. I sure would like a glass of iced tea and something to eat." And she come in and didn't say a thing. But she walks in and says, "Oh, honey, you're here before I got dinner ready. What would you like right now? Oh, let me give you a good kiss to start off with. That'll help you." Is that the way to love each other? Sure it is. Does that make a marriage last?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Now then, if you're diligent with God like that, when you get up in the morning, you're worshiping, you're praising Him, you're thanking Him for all the things, you get in your car and you drive this morning. When I first got out, I drove out and I said, "Lord, look at this magnificent day." I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky early this morning. It was the most beautiful. I said, "Today, Lord, I ought to be out flying. Ooh, this is so pretty out here." And I'm just thanking Him. I said, "Lord, look at this. It's the middle of August almost. And look at this beautiful grass and these trees." I said, "Normally it's brown, but this year you've made it green. And I want to praise you and thank you for this." And I said, "Lord, I want to thank you for all the people you're going to bring to the healing school today. I want to thank you for healing every one of them and touching every one of them's life forever so they'll never be the same. So they can go out and teach your word and they can get other people healed and set free." I said, "Lord, this is your ministry. It's not mine. This is all about you. But Lord, we love being diligent with you and seeking you and loving you and worshiping you. We want to bless you today and bless your name." What did He tell us to do? Bless Him. You want to see Him do miracles? You got to put Him first. You got to worship Him. You can't go to church on Sunday and spend 1 or 2 hours with God and then forget Him till next Sunday and never get Him to do a whole lot for you. It's just like that man and woman. That example I gave you a while ago. What do you think would happen to you if you had got married and come home and left your wife? And let's just say you just didn't run around with nobody else that week. You just went to work and just stayed at work for a week and didn't call her nothing for 6 days and then come home on Saturday night. You think she'd be sitting there having a dinner ready for you?
No.
No way, huh? Where is this guy? I thought he loved me. He ought to be here holding me, kissing me, telling me how much he likes me, how pretty I am, right? That's what you want to hear, isn't it? Of course. See, that's what we got to do with God. You know, we got to tell Him how much we love Him, we worship Him, we praise Him, and we got to do it without grumbling and complaining. If we do, you can walk in divine health. So, a curse causeless cannot come to rest. Cannot. So, if that's true, what is that verse 119:69? Let's go see if that's the one I'm thinking about, Dave. Psalms 119:69. Let's see if that's where I'm thinking. 119:67. There's the one I was thinking about. Before I was afflicted. What did you do before you were afflicted? Now, does it pay good dividends to go astray? What happens to you with God when you go astray? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Do y'all see that? You see what he's telling you? Okay. Let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go to Exodus 15. We're going to Exodus 15, 25, 26, and 27. And let's see what the Lord says here under the old covenant. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Which when he had cast into the waters. Yep, that's it. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now then, you notice that's the King James. You know what the word proves means in English? You know what that means? Test. When you look up the word prove in the King James, you'll find it over and over and over. Hundreds of times the word prove is used. But when you go to some of the other translations, it says test. In fact, what does the NLT say there in verse 25, and or maybe the New King James? I think the New King James uses the word test. Yeah. And that the Lord laid before them the following conditions to test their faithfulness to Him. Now the next verse. Go back to the King James. That's okay. Just stay right there. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands and laws, then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now think about this. If you will listen carefully to the voice of God. What is the voice of God? The Word. Somebody says, well, I have never heard God's voice audibly like you say you have. Well, you can. It's real easy to hear God's audible voice. All you got to do is just listen to what I just said, and you just heard it. Because I just read it. Do you think He changes? No. So if I say right now in verse 20, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, right now those words are His words and I'm speaking them out loud. You're hearing them. So you're hearing the voice of God. That's Him. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, not yours. Now see, I didn't think I'd done anything wrong the other day when all this stuff come upon me. But I'm smart enough to know that no curse comes upon me undeserved. So I said, okay, God, I think I've been a good boy. But as soon as I said, what did I do wrong? He carried me right back. And the first thing He did was very clearly reminded me of me sitting in the cockpit of that airplane, sitting with both engines running, complaining from within, not out loud. But I'm just complaining inside about that other guy sitting there. Did I tell you to do all things without grumbling and complaining? Oh, He didn't mean that though, Bill. Oh, He did. So He's going to hold me accountable. And He's going to hold you accountable too, isn't He? So, if you will listen carefully and obey. So now then, He really got my attention last week. Or week before last now. He really got my attention. I haven't grumbled and complained over a half a dozen times since then. I know I'm in safe territory because I got a feeling some of y'all have grumbled and complained today. Thank you, Lord, I haven't today. At least I don't think I have. Have you heard me grumble and complain today yet, Dave? Okay, praise God. Because He watches over me pretty careful. Every once in a while, I'll start to do something. Dave said, don't go there. I know right there. I said, okay, Lord. The voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands and laws, then I, God, will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. Do you want to suffer these diseases? All of you that are here that have a problem, you don't want it. That's why you're here, right? You don't want it. Well, all we got to do is do what God says and believe His word, and He will set us free. He says, I will not make you suffer the diseases. In other words, the way I read that, they're suffering with disease. Do you know any kind of disease you can have that don't have some kind of suffering or consequence with it? No, I don't want none of those. So He tells us what to do there. And so, then let's go to Deuteronomy 30, start with verse 11. Now, what do we have to do according to those verses to not have any sickness and disease come upon us? We've got to believe and obey, right? We have to obey. Now then, what if you haven't read the book? Does He still hold you accountable? Yes, He does. In other words, He holds you accountable just like driving down that highway out there. If you don't see that speed limit that says 60 mile an hour on that freeway out there and you're driving 70, and that little boy passes you and with them little lights blinking, and he says, "What is your hurry? I need to see your driver's license and your insurance." "Well, here, but I'm not in a hurry." He said, "Well, you were driving 70. "Well, isn't the speed limit 70? "No, it's 60. "Well, I was up here on the freeway just a little ways out there and it was 70. He said, "Yeah, about 25 miles out there, it is 70. But all down through here, it is 65 when you get right out here from here on down through Dallas. It's 60. "Well, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't see the sign." "Okay, no problem. Here, see the judge, cost you $200, and maybe next time you'll pay attention." And so it does have a tendency to make you pay more attention. Every time you're if I'm driving down the road and I look down and my speedometer's 5 miles an hour. In fact, the other day I was just praising the Lord. I'm driving down the road, you know, I'm singing, praising God, you know, and I'm not paying no attention at all. Ain't nobody on the freeway except me. And I look down and I'm doing 70 and the speed limit's 65. And I said, "Wow." I jumped off that gas and started looking at mirror front and back, see if there's a cop anywhere around. Because I know I'm guilty. I've just looked down, I'm breaking the law. But when it gets down to 65, I said, "Click, hit the cruise control. Get that foot off the throttle." Because when I get to praising God, if I'm not careful, I put both feet on the floor, you know. And next thing you know, I'm driving 70 or 80, you know, and that's breaking the law. I can be praising God, but the law don't understand that. You know, it's just like one night I'm going home out here on the freeway and I'm driving 45. That's back when 114 hadn't been finished. And I'm driving 45 and it's Sunday morning and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now then, I'm driving 45 and when I get in front of Trophy Club out there, all of a sudden there's a guy comes up behind me with the little lights. And I thought, gee, I guess he wants to go on by. So, you know, it was just two little lanes in. So I pulled off kind of on the shoulder and he pulled in behind me. I looked down and said, "Lord, I know I wasn't driving at 45 and the speed limit's 55. I said, I wonder if I got a taillight burned out or wonder what. So the guy comes up with his flashlight and he looks in my truck and he says, "Can I see your driver's license and your insurance?" I said, "Sure." I start to reach across to the glove box to get it. And he said, "Wait a minute." He said, what's that bottle down there? And it's sitting there in that deal. It's a green bottle. I said, "That's my anointing oil." He said, "You're what?" I reached over and I get the bottle and I said, "Virgin olive oil, I cast out demons and heal the sick with this."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.